Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
This is New Retirement Radio with the team from Prout Financial Design.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
The information in this material is not intended as tax advice. Please consult a tax professional for specific information regarding your own individual situation.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan. The team is here today, led by Certified Financial Planner, Mr. Dennis Prout. Welcome back, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron, on Thursday morning, January 23rd, 2020. And Heidi Thompson is here with us, Financial Advisor of Prout Financial Design, and Shay Pataja as well.
Hello. We're all here.
On staff, in force, here we go.
With an audience of one.
Yay.
It's funny to me because people will go, I listen to your radio show. I'm like, really? Because when you're in the studio, it just feels like you're hanging out with your friends.
Sure.
You forget that people are listening.
There's an antenna involved here.
There's an antenna. Yeah. There's a signal.
Isn't that funny? Yes. On our own world, and it's always a pleasure joining Ron. We're talking today about taxes. We are at the beginning of tax season, which no one wants to talk about. Everyone assume your fetal position, okay? Given how complex it's become, we're going to try to make some sense out of it, no pun intended, and talk indeed about the dates that you need to be thinking about. And from an investment perspective, of course, thinking about how to use today's tax brackets to your benefit. So taxes. Season 2020, what are we talking about? Some of the ins and outs of taxes, things you want to know about, and then how to use it as an investment idea or investment goal, if you will. April 15th, of course, the date this year to file your taxes, many years previous. Yeah. It's been April 16th, April 17th, yeah. And so on and so forth. This year for this year, 2020.
It's a Wednesday.
April 15th. Income tax brackets were increased in 2019 to account for inflation from 18. The standard deduction increased to $12,200 for single filers and $24,400 for married couples filing jointly. The standard deduction, that makes most deductions then moot. You're not going to be able to use them because the standard deduction is so high. It'll be an automatic, and it certainly is a tax simplification strategy. We used to have to keep, the shoebox full of receipts and all the rest. Well, is that one deductible? No, those are some shoes you bought, Dennis, so no, you can't deduct that. That sort of conversation going on.
Last year we did our taxes sans accountant.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
S-A-N-S, accountant. You did it yourself.
Yes, we did.
When was the last time you had done your taxes by yourself?
Can't remember.
Wow.
Can't remember. No.
He tries to forget those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the brackets, first off, brackets have gotten extremely wide. And when someone says they're in a, for instance, 22% bracket, most of us would think, well, that means that you're paying tax on all 22% of your income, but indeed you are not. You're paying income tax, married filing jointly, of a 10% rate on taxable income between the amounts of zero and $19,400. So each bracket is a bracket that of your income that you are paying tax on that income at that percentage. Can you believe it?
So
really?
You say you had $100,000 income.
Mm-hmm.
On the first zero, to $19,400, you pay 10%.
You're 10 paying 10%? Okay. Yes. Now, using 100,000 as an example, the 12% rate for 2019 is blacked out on my sheet.
Uh-huh.
For 2020, I'm going to cheat here. From 19,400.
This is 2020.
Yeah, we all have 2020. So to about 79,000 and change is the 12% bracket.
12%.
A wide, yawning bracket at 12%.
Hmm.
That is a gift that can give in several ways. Why? Because it's so wide and deep. That gives anyone who is thinking about doing a Roth conversion. See, I got Heidi sitting next to me here.
I can hardly contain herself.
See?
Yep.
Because that bracket is so wide and so low, historically, I was talking to an old friend accountant. He said, you know, I started in, I think he said 1973. I said, Dale, what was the tax bracket at that time? What was the top tax bracket? He said, Dennis, I'm not sure. He said, I think the top bracket was 75% then.
Wow.
75. So in relatively, it's extremely low now. Given that low rate, how can you take advantage? Well, then the next conversation, well, I can't do a Roth conversion because isn't there an income limit on that or an age limit or something? No, there is no limit, age limit or income limit on doing a Roth conversion. So you theoretically you could be now not to, of course you're going to want to discuss this with your accountant before you do this, but or tax advisor or financial advisor. It doesn't make sense to do that, to take advantage of that Roth conversion. It's not just for yourself, you see. If you are passing these assets on to children, given the new Secure Act, another variable installed at the end of 19, that benefit can be significant in having converted some of that money to Roth.
Because what you're doing is you're moving money that is taxable when you take it out. You're moving it in that conversion to a tax-exempt state. So there's no future tax on it. So taking advantage of the low rate now, you will avoid paying taxes on whatever that amount makes in the future as well. So
using that as a lever, a conversation I had last evening with a potential client, he said, Dennis, why would I want to do a Roth conversion? Gentleman was 66 years old. I said, there are three reasons to possibly do a Roth conversion. If you believe taxes for your income is going to be higher in the future, if you have 8 to 10 years to leave that money in the Roth, I said, you could theoretically use that money that's in the Roth later at some point. You want to take a trip and you don't want to pay tax on all of it. You know, you're buying a car, whatever it might be. Great diversification tool. So using those, thinking about those brackets, and then the third point, can you pay the tax with money that you set aside? All right. So that thinking about the brackets, not just as tax brackets, but how can they be utilized better for you? Now, think about this as well. The next bracket of 22%.
Yeah.
See, Ron, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm
pretty much.
Yep.
12% through about 80,000.
Yep.
Now, the next bracket, 22%, about 80,000 to 170,000, 22%.
And so these are the married.
Married
amounts,
filing jointly,
right?
After deductions, your taxable income. Thank you, Heidi, for that clarification. So, what if you're just above that taxable income rate at 22%? If you've put more money into your 401k, Shay,
yes,
and are deducting it, you could possibly get below that threshold at 22% and then only be paying 12%.
I better meet with my advisor.
See?
I think that's a great idea.
ASAP, both of them.
See? So thinking about this, not just in terms of the tax man cometh and where's my shoebox, but how do I take advantage of it? I may have lost in 19. You know, I didn't do this. You could still possibly do a deductible IRA or deductible SEP IRA if you're self-employed. Or think about it for 2020. given that you want to increase the amount you're putting into your 401k.
So that's for retirement planning, but also it's a strategy to lower your taxes.
Lower your taxes.
So if you're close to one of those marks, 80,000.
80,000.
120. Taxable. After 120, it goes up more?
No, to 160. Oh, excuse me, 170. 170,000 is the bracket at 22%. Wow. For 2020, it's $171,050 for putting
it,
a fine
point.
It
stops at 22. That's the personal income?
No, we stopped. We hadn't gotten there yet.
Okay, I see.
So the next bracket, 171 to about 325 or so, 24%. Just because you asked.
24%?
24%.
Okay.
32%, 326 to about 414. And I'm using approximates here because I don't want to lose you in the weeds.
Right.
Next one, 35% goes from 414 all the way to 622,000.
Okay.
And over that, it's 37%. So
that's adjusted gross income?
No, that's taxable.
Taxable. No, taxable income.
Taxable income.
For married people.
For married folks. singles have a different set of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And again, thinking about those higher incomes, how do I take advantage? Heidi is going to be talking about the Medicare surtax as well, imposed on those with certain incomes. That's going to make the effective rate over 40% in tax. So always thinking about how are taxes impacting me? How can I take advantage of today's historically low tax brackets? Because these all sunset in which year? Which year?
I think they were good for 8 years and we're 2 years in.
So 2025. Mm-hmm. She says it's a matter of deduction. So given that we're talking 2025, these are all going to be sunsetting at the end of that year. How do you use this window of opportunity? Given that some people, very smart, such as Ed Slaughter, saying these brackets, if I were to bet on anything going up, it's going to be tax brackets. So as an investment, think about brackets as an investment opportunity. And speaking of the SECURE Act, we are having a class.
February 19th at Cambria Suites, so you get there at 6 o'clock. The program that Dennis and Heidi are teaching will start at 6:30 and go till 7:30. If you want to attend, it's limited seating. There's no cost, but you call our office at 947-3992, and we are half full at this point.
Yeah, we're already half full.
Empty, half full.
Mm-hmm. We're half full.
Yeah,
half full.
The cup is indeed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That being almost a month out, about 3 weeks. So you do want to get signed up for that class. We're guessing that it will be full. The information that we have is from Ed Slott. All the information that they put together, and they've actually made some adjustments given the act passing. But you will find the information extremely helpful and thorough. And the other part about attending any class such as this is that you'll get questions from other members, perhaps of situations that you hadn't considered or that may be applicable to you. And great job, that Cambria Suites does in hosting everyone. Love being there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great, great venue, you bet. So room for 30. We look forward to possibly seeing you there, 947-3992. Obviously, taxes are a big part of our lives, especially as they're coming up here. Keeping in mind that if you have a reason to extend your taxes, you're not able to get all the information together, that sort of thing, you can extend your tax filing date from the regular April 15th date all the way through October 15th of 2020. So we have higher standard deductions is what we've discussed, automatic reduction in what you owe in taxes given the standard deduction, but that number has risen dramatically. In 18, it was 12,000 for single individuals, 12,200 in 2019. For married filing jointly, 24,000 in 18, 24,400 in 2019.
Does it continue to go up, do you know, or is that
2020, do we have what the standard deduction is for 2020? Let me see here. The standard deduction, through my information, Yes, the standard deduction is now $24,800 for married filing jointly. Mm-hmm. For single individuals, $12,400.
And that's 2020.
Yes, that is.
2020.
Yes.
I just like saying 2020. I try to throw it in whenever I can.
And then penalty for having no health insurance penalty is gone in for 19. So not for not having health insurance, the penalty went away. The penalty you owed if you didn't get health insurance is now history. That change went into effect for the 19 tax year. So that means the penalty for not having health insurance, which was $695 in 2018, is gone.
And that's that individual mandate, right?
It was. That was part of the, if you will, the Obama health care plan.
So that complicates the Obama health care plan, which is being argued now, because the reason that was constitutional, they said the government can order you to buy a product, in this case health insurance. If you don't, we won't fine you, we'll tax you, is what the argument was. Now that that tax is gone, there's still a law that says you're ordered to go buy this product. There's no fine now, but they're arguing now whether it's still constitutional without that. But the good news is you don't get zapped if you don't go out and buy health insurance.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Estate taxes. Estate tax exemption has continued to go up. It was $11.4 million in 2019.
What's that one?
The estate tax exemption.
Oh, I thought you said state. Okay, estate tax.
Estate tax exemption. Most don't understand that, and there is a that is a per-person amount. For those who are married, then it doubles, effectively doubles it. For 2020, it's $11,580,000. So it's went from 11.4, if you will, to almost 11.6 million per individual. So there is a significant amount that travels outside of the estate tax, making some trust planning that used to be in vogue somewhat less appealing from a numbers standpoint. Obviously, there are other reasons to consider a trust, but that particular reason in terms of having to pay estate tax has gone by the wayside.
Was that ceiling there, was it $5 million recently? Anything over $5 million estate? Do you know, or
that's going to test my memory, but it's gone up dramatically. I recall when it was, I believe it was $600,000. So that estate tax exemption has ballooned significantly, and we're many prognosticators are saying that most likely that's going to be cut dramatically at some point in the future.
I think too, in that the podcast with Doug Godbey, he talked about that because. The details of that I've missed, but he goes into extensive detail about that during the podcast.
He said something about that.
He said something important, and you should listen to the podcast.
Yes. So now in terms of this surtax, before we move too far beyond that, Heidi has some information on that.
Right.
Surtax.
Surtax.
So the surtax. This is also another element of the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. So that was about health insurance, but hidden in all that that language, there was a tax on investment income. And so if you make over certain limits, then your investment income is subject to this additional tax.
And that was in the health care bill?
And that was in the health care bill. There's a lot of stuff hidden in these things. So let's take a look. What's investment income? Investment income is stuff like interest, dividends, capital gains, annuity income, royalty income, passive rental income, and there's some other stuff in there as well. Things that are not investment income, that would be your wages or your self-employment income, business income, distributions from IRAs, Roth IRAs, employer plans. So that is not seen as investment income. So some of the limits on that. So if you make for individuals over $200,000, then you are you have to follow that additional tax on your investment income. And for married filing jointly, that number is $250,000. And one that we should point out is that trusts and estates are hit really particularly hard in this area because their highest tax rate starts at that $12,960. Wow. So any investments that are held in that trust and that report taxes under that trust entity are going to kick in that higher 3.8% additional tax at a much, much lower rate than an individual or a couple.
So that amount is $12,000. How much again, Heidi, on trust?
$12,950, and that's for 2020.
That's what's making the trust planning so much more difficult than the regular IRA field. That's why the Secure Act is will have a huge impact on these trusts as they relate to contingent beneficiary, usually a contingent beneficiary on your IRA accounts. That's why you're going to want to arm yourself with more information to help both yourself and potentially your attorney, if they're involved, in rewriting or redoing possibly your trust and or beneficiary or contingent beneficiaries on your IRAs. Generally, a trust was considered when, frankly, you didn't trust those who might follow along to possibly manage those assets properly. Well, certainly they're not going to manage them properly now because they're going to be subject to a significantly greater tax, not only regular income tax, but trust tax, taxes on the trust, which are stratospheric after $12,900. Well, it doesn't take long to blow right through that limit when you've got a distribution coming in from an IRA that you thought could be held in the trust so that that child, in this case, would be helped in controlling the disbursement of those funds. Well, if it's not dispersed, they're going to wind up paying just about half of it in tax anyway. So
this
right
is,
out the door.
To clarify with the Secure Act that we keep talking about, it really seems to, the threshold of IRA accounts is like $500,000. Is that who it really starts to affect?
That's who it really starts to affect because they're assuming that those assets would have been spent down. But if you've got a situation where there's one child and that particular child is going to be taking those funds over a 10-year period, they could indeed be subject to this sort of Secure Act, even on amounts of say $300,000 to $400,000. But in general, it's $500,000 that tends to be the breaking point, if you will, or the elevator step, or whatever you want to refer to it as, is where they're most concerned about these new trust taxes and the new Secure Act and its impact on those. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Just checking.
3,000 pages of absolute clarity.
Yes.
We'll just keep coming back to that as we move through this. So this is one of those situations when people come in and you're like, oh, it's great. You know, you made that investment and now you're selling it and you've got all this investment income. It's great. But there's always the follow-up where you're like, well, unfortunately, you made all this money and it was a great investment. So now you're paying more in taxes. So
the other shoe.
That's the other shoe. Some other things to keep in mind is not only is there the 3.8% surtax, there's also an additional 0.9% Medicare tax that comes as an additional amount that would be taxed on those amounts. So it starts to add up, all these little add-ons over time. So you want to keep these things in mind. And so if you experience something where you've made a lot of investment income, maybe unexpectedly, or you want to make sure that the earlier you go to see a tax professional or you talk to your financial advisor, you're going to be able to put strategies in place to maybe try to get that income number down so that you won't be subject to these additional taxes. You could make contributions to maybe your employer plan or an IRA and get that income number down. So we talk about that a lot with our clients as we're trying to, you know, move with them when things happen in life and we have to move those chess pieces to try to get them the best result.
Did you hear about the guy downstate? He went to the Habitat for Humanity Restore, and he bought used furniture for $70, a couch and an ottoman, and found $43,000 in the ottoman.
Well, the couch was lumpy, the story that I heard. I think Colleen was adding to that.
Yeah, that was a great investment.
So he returned the money, though, to the family that donated the furniture.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
That family didn't even know there was money in there because they got the furniture from their grandfather who had passed away.
Oh.
So I'm wondering what kind of income that would be. Would that be inheritance, ultimately?
Discovered.
They got the... Yeah, right.
And then an update.
Oh.
People didn't want this man to suffer. He wasn't doing too well financially, so people have started this big fundraising campaign for the guy who gave the money back, and now he's getting a lot of money.
Now he's getting gifts and money.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other shoe will drop.
Honesty tax pays in the end.
Yes.
I still remember an old story by Zig Ziglar, speaking of taxes, and he was talking about wanting to buy businesses. And so these individuals who owned these businesses, he interviewed, I think he said, about 19 different businesses. And he said, I talked to each one, we reviewed their taxes and everything, so I could see where their incomes were, so we knew what we were buying if we were going to buy this asset. And he said, to a person almost, he said each of them were cheating to a certain degree on their taxes. He just said it matter-of-factly. And he said, and I had a lot of time to think about that, and I thought about it. And he said, the amount of intensity that would cause them in having to continually worry about whether or not they were paying their taxes, he said, I determined that there was no way that was worth it. Because they were each saving relatively small amounts, maybe 3, 4, 5% in the end on their taxes. And yet the amount of stress that would cause them in having cheated on that, he said, I determined was never going to be worth it.
Yep.
So, you know.
That's the guy here, Harvey or Harry, I forget his name, but he said $43,000, nothing could buy me the kind of peace and joy that I have right now. $43,000 because he's at peace because he gave it back.
Gave it back.
Yeah.
And not an easy decision either, right? I mean, he could have said nothing easily.
And people didn't know.
Yeah.
They didn't know they were missing it.
No.
So peace.
So lots of information here. Everything that's staying the same for the 2020 tax season, the child tax credit. The credit $2,000 per qualified child and raise the income limits for that credit to $400,000 filing jointly and $200,000 individually. By the way, using 529 plans have been 529 plans have been liberalized in terms of withdrawals allowed. You can now use it for education other than college, like private school or tutoring for your child in kindergarten through 12th grade tax free. Be careful because withdrawing too much money obviously could have a detrimental impact on their ability to use it later if it's not there.
And the tricky thing with those 529s is you want to make sure that you pull out the money in the same year you pay the bill. So where people get mixed up or in trouble with the tax rules is if you take the money out in December because you know you're going to be paying tuition in January, you don't want to do that. You want to wait and take the money out in January so that you take the money out in the same tax year that you spend the money.
That the expense was incurred.
Yeah. So that's sort of like the little thing that most people have trouble with is that year-end stuff.
There was also a snag with private schools recently.
You're thinking of the Hillsdale situation,
yeah,
right. Where because they're not funded
with federal dollars.
With federal dollars, there was a question as to whether or not it was allowed, and come to find out, we dug into that situation, and it is allowed through the 529 plan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Hillsdale, yeah. At first, we were concerned because it was brought to us by the 529 administrator that they thought Hillsdale might be an issue. Come to find out. No.
Okay.
You can use that 529 money there.
Indeed. That's important to know because we have a fair number of listeners who have children and or grandchildren who attend Hillsdale.
Okay.
All right. All right. 2020 tax season dates. Let's hit this. Late January 2020, the IRS hasn't confirmed a specific date yet, but this will be the official start of tax season, the day the IRS begins accepting and processing your 2019 tax returns. I have not seen that notification yet being made. So if you have all your tax forms and information ready, you can get your taxes out of the way before the snow in your front yard melts. Mm. January 31st, you should have online access to your W-2 form, wages, the form employees use to report their income or have it delivered to you by your employer by this date. So check your mailboxes. You'll want to make certain that you've got those. Then if you did freelance work and that sort of thing, you might get a 1099 miscellaneous form used to report your self-employment income as well. April 15th, the date that we all know, this is the dreaded tax day, the date that your 2019 income tax return is due unless you file an extension for the filing of the tax. Please remember that you cannot file an extension for the amount of tax you owe. You must make best guess or best estimate of the taxes owed within certain limits by April 15th. You will not be able to file an extension on the taxes.
You have to pay it at that time then?
So it's like a down payment, right?
Yeah, it is a down payment on the estimated taxes you think you're going to owe.
You essentially say, I think I owe $3,000. Here's your check for $3,000.
But I'm not going to file my taxes.
Until by October I will.
You need to file the appropriate extension forms.
Okay.
Yes. June 15th, if you live overseas, you're on a military duty outside of the United States, your taxes are still due on the 15th of April, but you're given an automatic two-month extension to file your taxes without needing to request one. All right. Mm-hmm. October 15th, got a six-month extension to your 2019 taxes. This is the deadline to file those tax returns, October 15th of 2020. And for those, there are a few out there who haven't filed taxes for 1, 2, 3 years, we hear about here and there. Keep in mind, that number keeps on counting and adding up. So get with an appropriate tax professional to get this work done and to get those taxes and forms filed. Even if you didn't owe any taxes in the past, many times you're going to need to file appropriate forms with the IRS stating so, all right, so that they know. So the basic key is appropriate information given to appropriate authorities.
Right, and if you do owe tax, they are accumulating interest and penalties. Mm-hmm. So the longer you wait, the worse it gets.
The worse it gets.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.